Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Well, it's good to have you with us today, and we want to welcome back our college students. It is great to have you here this morning. Hope you had a great summer. Hope you have come back refreshed and ready to hit your studies. How many parents are ready for your kids to go back to school? Yes. Sometimes summer break is summer break for mom and dad. But anyway, it's good to have you back today, college students. We also want to welcome all of our first-time guests. For those of you, this is your first time with us. We want to say you are so welcome here. We are glad to have you. And maybe you come today and you have questions about God, about Jesus, the Bible, about faith. I want you to know this is a great place to be because our goal is to be a church that unchurched people love to attend. And so we are so glad that you're here. And if you do have any questions about anything, you can ask myself or one of our staff members. We'd love to sit down with you over coffee or something and just talk with you to try to answer any questions that you have. All right, open your Bibles this morning to Judges chapter 7. We are continuing our series called Others First, and we're just going to show the theme verse on our series. It's not in Judges, but it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24, and this is what it says. It says there that no one should seek their own good, but the good of others. And in the Message version, it says, but the point is not just to get by. We want to live well, but our foremost effort should be to help others live well. As followers of Jesus Christ, we've been touching on this the past few weeks. Our goal is not just to have a blessed life, a great life, a life with God, but our goal is to help other people live well. In fact, that's the reason God still has us on the planet. And this morning, we are continuing the message about Gideon that we started last week, where we talked about how do we make an impact beyond ourselves. So it's not just us having a great life, but how do we make an impact and touch those people around us? And we started looking at six keys. We're going to review the first two very briefly for those who weren't here, for those that were maybe ministering upstairs in kids' ministry. We want to say thanks to all those that minister to our kids each week. And it's good to have our children's church workers for the elementary down here with the kids today joining us. But the first key, and if you want to take out your notes this morning, they're on the back of your bulletin. The first key that we looked at last week was to volunteer to advance God's kingdom. The first key to making an impact beyond yourself is to volunteer to advance the kingdom. Last week we saw how there was over 500,000 fighting men in Israel, 500,000 men that could fight in the army, but only 32,000 showed up and volunteered. And the question is, what happened to the other over 400,000 men? You know, they weren't part of that a supernatural deliverance that God gave because they didn't volunteer. They were at home. They were doing their jobs, tending to their fields. If they were blacksmiths, they were working on their blacksmiths. If they were carpenters, they were just, you know, doing their carpentry. But these men, most of them, said, I'm going to just do my daily normal routine instead of volunteering to advance the kingdom. And that's the first thing that we need to do. We can't get caught walking in our path of the daily grind. We need to volunteer every day. I try to say, God, here I am. What do you want to do? I volunteer my day to you. And that's what God is looking for, that we have this openness from the get-go, not just to be caught up in the grind. It also involves volunteering to strengthen and minister to the body. When you think about your own physical body, who's responsible for feeding your body? You are. Who's responsible for making sure it has enough exercise and enough rest? You are. You're responsible. So here's the thing. Who is responsible for the body of Christ being nurtured and strengthened and equipped and being the best it can be? The body itself is. And so as a body, we need to be ministering to the body in the church, and we need to volunteer for that. Some people say, how many are looking forward to the football season starting up? Several of you are. You know what they say about football? A football game is 22 men on the field desperately in need of rest and 80,000 people in the stands desperately need of exercise. And someone once likened the church a lot to a football game. You got 22 people on the field doing a lot and 80,000 just sitting doing nothing. But as the body, we're all the body, we all need to participate and be involved. And for all those who do volunteer, next Sunday night is our Superstar Appreciation. If you volunteer in any capacity, we want you to show up. We're going to have a great night of food, of fun. We're doing some great things. I'm not going to give it away, but it's going to be a great night. And it's just our way to express appreciation to our volunteers for everyone who does something in the church. Oh, and come as your favorite movie character, okay? I've got four of them right now that I'm debating on what to come as. So anyway, it's going to be a great time. But volunteer your day, volunteer in the body. That's the first step to making an impact beyond yourself. Volunteer to advance the kingdom. The second thing we learn about making an impact beyond ourselves is number two in your notes, don't let fear paralyze you. Don't let fear paralyze you. Two-thirds of the volunteers went back home because they were afraid. Out of the 32,000, only 10,000 stayed. Over two-thirds went back. And we talked about last week how those two-thirds that went back, they missed out on having a great story to tell their grandkids. You know, they missed out on sharing this supernatural deliverance, how God delivered them from an army with only pictures, a clay pitcher, a torch, and a trumpet. No swords, no fighting. God did it. And they missed out because they were afraid. And we talked about how fear is one of the main tactics the devil uses to cause God's people to not make an impact on others. You see, Satan wants to steal your story. He wants to steal the victory. He wants you to live a life kind of cowering in fear so you don't attempt anything for God. He doesn't want you to pray for people at work for God to heal them. He doesn't want you to invite people to church. He doesn't want you to attempt to get involved volunteering in ministry. And sometimes we're afraid of failure. Sometimes we're afraid of what other people will say, what other people will think. Well, you know, we're afraid of losing time. We're afraid of losing money. God, if I give here, I'm not going to have enough money. If I give here, I'm not going to have enough time. And Satan tries to use fear to keep us from making an impact for God. So those are the first two things that we looked at last week. Take a look at number three this morning. We're going to get into this. The third key, if you want to make an impact in other people's lives, is to be alert as you walk through everyday circumstances. Be alert as you walk through everyday circumstances. Let's pick it up in Judges 7, verse 5 through 7. So Gideon brought the people down to the water. The Lord said to Gideon, "Everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to the mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, "By the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. So let all the other people go, every man to his place." There were two kinds of men there. Did you ever realize, okay, you ever think about this? God decided who was going to fight based upon their table manners. Have good manners. You know, you can be used of God. No. But here's the thing. This is what God was saying. Those who get down on their hands and knees and basically stick their heads in the stream and just, you know, slurp it out of the stream like that, that's one group. That's the group you send home. But the group that gets down and they cup their hands and they put it in the water and they bring it to the mouth and they lap it up from their hands, those are the guys you keep. Why did God make that stipulation? The reason is because the guys that just stuck their head in the water were not alert. They weren't looking around for the enemy. They weren't being aware of what was taking place around them. But the guys that were kneeling down and they would cup it up, they could see if there was movement on the horizon. They could see if the enemy was coming over the hill. So they were alert. They were in tune with what was going on around them. And that is a key for us. We need to be alert. As you walk through everyday circumstances, when you get a drink, when you sit down to eat, when you're filling with gas, when you're at the grocery store, when you're sitting in the cubicle at the office or working out in the oil field, when you're driving, be alert to what is going on around you. You can make an impact if you're simply alert to people's needs. So many times, there's people that are hurting, and if you are alert to it, God can pinpoint someone in your own life that is hurting and that needs you to reach out and to touch them. I know there have been circumstances for me. Sometimes it's just in conversations I'm having with someone on the phone, and there's just an alertness. God says, speak to someone. You can hear the hurt. You can hear that the reason I called maybe isn't the reason that I should be calling. There's something else going on in their life, and God wants me to just be alert to it and start talking to them and to see what's going on. How can I pray for you? Is there any need in your life? Maybe it's at the grocery store. You see, the other day I was at a store, and there was this little girl. I guess she lost something, and her mom was just chewing her out because she lost something. And I looked, and my heart just broke for her. And the dad was there, and he looked at me, and there was just this sadness in his eyes. And I just looked at him. I smiled, and I nodded my head. And they just walked on, and I just began to pray for him. It's just little things like that. Sometimes God opens a door for you to talk. Sometimes it's just giving someone a smile, letting them know that they're not alone. It's those little things as you walk through everyday life. Be alert. Let the Holy Spirit perk up your eyes, perk up your ears, enlighten your mind to the needs that are going on around you. It is so easy for us to rush on our way and not be alert. It's so easy to get consumed on, man, I'm thirsty, I need a drink of water, these are my needs, this is what I have to do. But if we are only concerned with our needs and not alert to the needs around us, then we will not make an impact beyond ourselves. Okay, that's number three. Be alert as you walk through everyday circumstances. Take a look at the fourth key there. And the fourth key is when you are part of a team, work in unity. When you are part of a team, work in unity. Take a look at verse number 16. Then Gideon divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet into every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. He said to them, "Look at me and do likewise. Watch, and when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp and say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon." Gideon said, "Watch me. If we do this separately, it's not going to work, but we need to be in unity." Gideon split the 300 men, 100 each into different companies, and they kind of surrounded the Midians. And then at one time, he said, if all of us take the clay pitchers off the torches so the lights all shine at the same time, if we smash the pitchers at the same time, you see, you've got the torch, you can be watching Gideon, you can see when he goes down, and then you yell the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, you blow the trumpet at the same time. If you've got the lights coming on, the noise piercing the darkness, shattering, you know, just in the midnight sky where it's clear. I love going up on Casper Mountain at night. You ever go up on Casper Mountain at night and you just sit there and listen? It's quiet. And think of that. You're an enemy army. You're sleeping. It's quiet. And all of a sudden, 300 trumpets blare out. You hear like 300 windows shattering. That's what a clay pitcher would be like, shattering on the ground. 300 windows shattering. 300 men yelling and screaming. And you're surrounded by lights, and boom, it hits. You would wake up in a startle. But if everyone says, well, I don't think Gideon took the right timing, I think we should go a little bit later. It's not the, if everyone did their own thing whenever they wanted, it would not have worked. They needed to work in unity. And Jesus knew the importance of unity. He said in Mark chapter 3, verse 25, if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. If a house is divided, it cannot stand. I've heard this phrase many times. You maybe have heard it also. Teamwork makes the dream work. Yeah, you know it. Teamwork makes the dream work. But division destroys. Division destroys. I've seen churches that are more concerned with what they want than with reaching lost people for Jesus. I know of churches that have split because they disagreed over what color the carpet should be. I know churches that have split because, well, I don't like the kind of worship we have, or the worship is too long, or the worship is too short. I know people that get disgruntled because I don't like what the pastor's doing, or I don't like what they're doing in kids' church. They need to do it this way. Tom Rainier, a church growth specialist, says this: when the preferences of the church members are greater than their passion for the gospel, the church is dying. When the preferences of the church members is greater than our passion to see lost people come to know a Savior who loves them, who left heaven, who died on a cross for their sins so they don't have to spend eternity in hell, when what I want is greater than that, our church is dying. The passion for reaching lost people needs to be paramount in every Christian's life. And that's what we need to be unified around. How can we win people to Jesus? How can I bring someone closer to God? That's our goal. You see, it's not about me. I remember when I was growing up in little church I went to, we had an organist. His name was Jules. And Jules, he was a good organist. But you know what? It was all about Jules. Jules would sing and he would play. And I tell you, here's the thing about Jules. If there was a musician who came in that was as talented or more talented than Jules, he would subtly sabotage them and just kind of be mean to them and try to get people against him because he did not want anyone to be greater than himself. It was all about him looking important. It was all about him being the best singer and the best musician on the worship team. Now, we don't use organs anymore as lead instruments. You got to realize it was about 30 years ago. But that attitude of it's about me instead of about others, that prevents you from making an impact beyond yourself. And I know some people, they're involved in ministry. They volunteered. They don't have fear. But it's about them. And they're not working in unity. Now, I don't know of any of that going on here, but I've seen it in churches. And it's a thing we've got to check because sometimes in our own life, it's human nature. We are selfish. Some of you say, I'm not selfish. Okay, let me ask you a question. Let's take a group picture, okay? If we take a group picture, what's the first thing you do when you look at that picture? You look at yourself, don't you? And what determines if it's a good picture? If you look good. You know, the other 12 people, they can have boogers hanging from their nose, and their hair can be sticking up, and their collar can be up, you know, and their fly can be down. But as long as you look good, hey, it's a great picture. If everyone else looks good and you look bad, no, we need a retake, man. You know, let's take a few more of these, okay? It's not good. Because we're selfish. The first thing we do is we look at ourselves. And if I look good, if it benefits me, all right, we're great. And that's human nature, and we have to be so careful. As we're involved in ministry, as we come to church, it's not about what we want. It's not about how good I look. It's about what does Jesus want? How good does Jesus look? Is his desire being met and not mine? And when we are a church that says, it's not about me, not about my preferences, but you know what? It's being in unity about reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's when we make an impact beyond ourselves. So let's be a congregation that works in unity and says that passion for the lost is our number one priority. All right. Number five, take a look. And this is kind of linked to the previous one, but here it is. Be on guard for the temptation of earthly rewards. Be on guard for the temptation of earthly rewards. After the great victory that Gideon's army won, the people came and says, hey, we want you to be our leader. We want you to be our king. You rule us. And Gideon says, no, I don't want that. Because here's the thing. Gideon knew God did not want a king. However, Gideon still wanted earthly rewards. Flip to chapter 8, okay? Chapter 8, going to pick it up in verse 23. Gideon said to them, I will not rule over you. Nor shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. So he's sounding very spiritual, very good here. But now look what he says. Then Gideon said to them, verse 24, I would like to make a request of you, that each of you would give me the earrings from his plunder. For they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. So they answered, we will gladly give them. Now they spread out a garment, and each man threw into it the earrings from his plunder. The weight of the gold earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold. Then Gideon made it into an ephod. An ephod is kind of like a coat, a vest that you would wear. And he set it up in his home city, Ophrah. And all Israel played the harlot there. Playing the harlot there means they came and they worshipped it as an idol. They worshipped it as God. And that was the thing that got Israel into this mess in the first place, is that they got into idol worship. And it says it became a snare to Gideon and to his household. And when you look at Gideon's life, you know, he says, oh, I don't want to be a leader. But here's the thing. Gideon wanted to be remembered. He wanted this monument set up so that when people looked at it, they would always remember him. And if you look back in chapter 6, Gideon was kind of insecure. He didn't get his identity from God, because when God says to him, you mighty man of valor, you mighty warrior, Gideon says, me? I come from the smallest tribe, the smallest family in the tribe, and you know, the smallest clan, and I'm the weakest of the weakest. Gideon did not see himself through God's eyes, and he was trying to feel important, and he wanted gold and recognition. In your notes, I give you three common temptations. When I was in college, I had a professor. He says there's three common temptations that each of us face, and almost every single time someone falls, it's one of these three. And it's always stuck with me. They all begin with the letter G. It's the gold, the glory, and the girls. Or the guys, if you're a lady. The gold, the glory, and the girls. And when you think about it, you try to think of every major Christian leader that you have seen fall, that you've heard about in the news, that has been discredited, isn't it one of these things? It's the gold, inappropriate handling of money. It's the glory, you know, doing things, abusing their power. Or it's the girls. And we need to be careful that we do not succumb to the three G's, the gold, the glory, the girls, or the guys, because those are the common temptations. Remember, we're selfish. We like to look good in the picture. And because we're selfish, we have to be on guard. And Gideon, he got sucked into wanting earthly rewards. I want recognition. I want to be noticed. I deserve something. I've sacrificed my life. I've given my time. I've given my talent. I put myself at risk for this. I am entitled to something. And I've seen in many circumstances, people sometimes get involved in ministry. They do things for God. And because they're doing things from God, they use it to justify sinful conduct. Yeah, I can cheat. I can steal. I can have this affair because I'm doing this for God. Friends, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. We need to be a people that live in holiness, in purity, and devotion to God. Jesus is our greatest treasure. He is the greatest lover. He is the one. What matters is not what other people think of you. It's someday when we get to heaven and He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." It is so easy to want to live for the here and now because that's what we see. Jesus said, if you receive your reward on earth, if you're doing things so other people notice, so you get your reward here, you've lost your reward in heaven. He told us to lay up our treasures in heaven, to seek after eternal rewards. Don't worry about the gold, the glory, the girls. Here's the thing. What if God gives you wealth? You know what? If God blesses you with wealth, then that's fine. Don't go seeking wealth, but if God gives you wealth, then use that to be a blessing to others. We just finished our Sunday night discipleship group, The Blessed Life, and it talks about God blesses you so you can bless others. If God is pouring out a financial blessing, a material blessing on you, maybe it's so that you can be a blessing to others. Don't go seeking the spotlight, but if all of a sudden, you know, God puts you in the spotlight, you know, you do something out in the community and boom, you're in the paper. Maybe God's giving you a position, a platform in the community so that you can share His love and His grace and extend your influence. So we don't seek the earthly rewards, but when they come, God, how can I use this for your glory and not my own? Okay, that's number five. We should not seek earthly rewards. The last thing that we see in this story to make an impact beyond ourselves is to have accountability partners. Have accountability partners. Now you'd say, Craig, I don't see any scripture reference for that here. And there isn't one. You know why? Because Gideon didn't have any accountability partners to be recorded. You see, and that was part of his problem. There was no one examining his motives. There's no one saying, "Hi, Gideon, I don't really think it's a good idea for you to get gold from everyone and make this monument to yourself." There was no one there, you know, checking his agenda. There was no one there asking him, "Are you protecting your boundaries? Are you safeguarding yourself?" When you look at Gideon's life, he really was a Lone Ranger Christian. He kind of did things all by himself. He didn't have a team of people around him. He didn't have someone that was there to watch his backside. I started in ministry 26 years ago. And in my first position, I came to a place and I heard someone talk about you need an accountability partner, someone that you share with. And so I started praying, and a couple years in, God gave me a guy, his name was Mark Walker. And for the next 2 years that I was in Salt Lake City, Utah, Mark and I were accountability partners. And I tell you, it was great. We encouraged each other. We asked each other tough questions. Have you been anywhere or done anything inappropriately with a member of the opposite sex? Have you been upstanding in your financial dealings? You know, are you doing things for people to notice you? Are you secretly wanting, you know, glory and recognition in your life? We talked about the gold, the glory, and the girls. We talked about what's your thought life like? What are you watching? What are you viewing? Are you staying away from porn? All that stuff. We asked each other tough questions. Why? Because here's the thing that I found. When I am tempted to do something wrong, knowing that next week Mark is going to ask me a question about it, it made me think twice about doing it. It's like, you know what? I can't look at that girl in the mall because he's going to ask me, you know, have you looked at a woman in a lustful way this past week? And it's like, okay, I can't do that because he's going to ask me. Just knowing that someone's going to ask you heightens it in your life. And when I left Salt Lake City, I lost my accountability partner. And I tell you, I realized I need to keep doing this. Since then, I've had four other accountability partners through my life, people that I meet with on a regular basis. I have one now, and I am so glad for it, the encouragement, the challenge to have someone there. You need an accountability partner, someone that can help you, that can challenge you, because it is so easy. Remember, we're selfish. And I found it's easy for me to rationalize what I'm doing and to drift away from previous commitments I'd made to God. Gideon didn't have that. And as a result, the people that he helped, that he set free from the enemy, it eventually led them back into bondage and being attacked by the enemy again. And I have seen in my own life when Christians have a great influence in other people's lives and then they fall, the people feel betrayed. The people wonder, okay, is this Christianity thing authentic? Is it real? Does this really matter? Because their talk didn't match their walk. And I've seen people fall away from God because a Christian pastor, a Christian mentor, a Christian friend was a hypocrite. And the person that was traveling in a direction with Jesus says, you know what? I don't need this anymore. If I want to have an impact beyond myself, then I need to stay on the straight and narrow so that my influence is not tarnished and diminished. And accountability partners help us do that.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.